Just one note, when you refer to things like URS, if you write it out in long form, it helps some of our newer members to follow the discussion. So this refers to uniform rapid suspension, I assume? Okay. All right. So we're going to move straight into the second topic, and then perhaps if we have just a few minutes, we can take a few questions at the very end. So let's move into the second part, which is to look at the IANA stewardship issue, and then you have a couple of speakers, is that right? Please go ahead.
Thank you, Heather. Alex Blowers from Nominat. So I'm going to share with you, first of all, a CCTLD perspective on this issue. The first thing to say is, having listened to the high-level group discussion yesterday with great interest, it's fair to say that I think most CCTLDs absolutely understand the what you might call the geopolitical case for making a change to the IANA arrangements at this time. What I want to share with you really is a consumer or a customer perspective on that change. And I think the first and really important point to make is that at the moment the IANA function works extremely well for all customers, both GTLD customers and CCTLD customers. So in a sense, where we would start is that's what we want to see continue. We want to see the same levels of service excellence that we've enjoyed hitherto maintained in any future arrangement. And part of that guarantee of the high quality of service has been the contractual arrangement with the NTIA. So clearly this question of what do we substitute for that is actually business critical for us and for everybody else who's operating in this space. And I've highlighted here three important things that backstop of the contract actually provides us with at the moment. And all of those, I think, are important to the important features that we need to replicate in any new arrangement. Next slide, please. I think it's probably a little bit early to fix on a preferred design for the new arrangement. I'm not sure that the debate has yet reached a point of sufficient maturity, certainly for me to know what would be the model solution for a transitioned arrangement. But what I put up on this slide is some, I think, very important principles which should guide our thinking on this and which I think would be common to all customers, users of the function as it exists today. I don't think anybody will see anything on the slide which is particularly shocking or surprising. Clearly, one of the key questions is, what do we do about the last item on this slide around accountability and transparency? One thing I would say is that I think that transparency in and of itself is not sufficient to guarantee a continued high quality of service. So that there needs to be more than simply transparency or visibility of what's going on for us to actually be comfortable that we will have the right kinds of mechanisms to ensure continued high level of performance. Next slide, please. And I want to talk now about the particular needs of CCTLDs, and this is where CCTLDs' needs, because of their historical relationship with IANA, may differ from those of other customers. So we think the arrangements must recognise the different status of CCTLDs and their rights, along with national governments and other stakeholders in their respective territories, to set their own policies. Now, that doesn't sound particularly controversial, but there are ways in which the relationship with the IANA and with the IANA function can insert policies by the back door, if you will, which have an effect on the exercise of national sovereignty in individual members, in individual countries. There should be no requirement to contract with IANA, in our view. Many CCTLDs currently do not have a contract with IANA. Many have a memorandum of understanding or some other looser arrangement. And I don't see any reason why this transition should change that fundamental feature of the system as it exists today. CCNSO should continue to lead on bottom-up policy for all issues related to CCTLDs. That's the appropriate mechanism for making policy in relation to the CCTLD community. And critically, all other policy matters should be determined at national level with the local internet community. So in summary, what I'm saying here is that the CCTLDs who have a well-established relationship with IANA and with ICANN, which recognises their national sovereignty, should see that maintained in any future arrangement. And that will be an important guarantee for us that this transition does not have unintended consequences which affect us and also affect you as our governments. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Next slide, please. The GTLD perspective on the IANA transition is remarkably similar. We too believe the current system works well. It's free from outside influences. It's purely an administrative function. And customers of IANA and customers of IANA oversight have been generally pleased. It's important to note that timely implementation of root zone change requests is really a stability issue, that TLD operators often upgrade their infrastructure, and the root zone needs to reflect the latest changes so that changes to address new technology or changes in the environment are timely, or changes due to change of control are reflected in an up-to-date way in the root zone. We think that the oversight function currently verifies that IANA has followed its processes, and we think that should continue, that it's essentially an administrative function and does not re-adjudicate the request. And therefore, the root zone function, the management function, needs to be really focused on that task and not let the oversight function shouldn't let other outside issues, whether they're contractual or some other controversy, affect the root zone management changes. And we think the IANA function has done a very good job of processing changes in a timely way. And we think ICANN is the right home for that. That doesn't mean that this performance should not be periodically reviewed with respect to where the IANA function should be housed. But as a default, we think ICANN is the right place so long as performance remains at a high level. On the next slide, the final slide for us. So with the beginning of this discussion, the community has also raised the issue of accountability and transparency of ICANN as a parallel issue. And we think that's very important for a few reasons. One is that the development of this model should be responsive to IANA's customers. So Alex identified CCTLDs and GTLDs as IANA's customers, and we think that's right. But having arrived at a new and proper oversight model, we want to ensure that that agreed-upon model stays in place, that performance is maintained, and that changes aren't made, that there continues to be accountability to IANA's customers. So that's why we think the accountability piece of this transition discussion is very important. We think, too, that IANA's customers would be an excellent source to start with straw man oversight models. So we would recommend that each of IANA's customers be asked to provide a straw man for community consideration. We think the development of this process needs to be independent of ICANN and the IANA function, and I think that's been made clear in the public discussion across the board. And finally, we think that at the end of the day, the recommendations of IANA's customers, whether they are RIRs or CCTLDs or GTLDs, should not be overridden. So they need to be listened to carefully and not rejected in any way. So that's all I have. So Heather, if there's any questions, we'd be happy to take them. And we understand we're the only ones between the GAC and lunch.
Yes, thank you. You are in that unfortunate situation of being between us and our lunch. If there are any quick questions that the GAC has, perhaps we can take one or two. Yes, in the back. Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Emil Kędzierski. I come from Poland. This is the first time I have the chance to take a floor, so thank you very much. And thank you for a great presentation. And I have a question, because those recommendations for the ANA process were very, very interesting. And is it possible to circulate through GAC, I don't know, mailing list or any other form, the recommendations you have towards the ANA transition process, to be able to process them, to analyze them, and to have a thought about them? Thank you.
Thank you, Poland. So yes, we do have the slides. They can be circulated, and the DNA is willing to follow up as well if we have questions after this session. Okay, so we have two more speakers, and then we will break. So Norway and then Russia, please.
Thank you. I would just like to say that we are so happy for this very, very useful presentation for us, because we get so much data and presentations sent over to us, and this is really compressed information for us about how the system really actually works for the applicants and also for the brand owners, and also the CC perspective on the IANA transition. So for us, I think this is extremely useful. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Norway. Russia.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question. There is a bold intellectual property organization. Is there any relationship between DNA and WIPO? Does your practical activities connect somehow to this organization? Thank you.
Thank you for the question. There's no formal relationship between WIPO and the DNA, but certainly as we go forward and discuss trademark protections and how they're going to change over time, we all have contacts there and have worked with them, and we'll take their input and give them our advice too.
Thank you. Okay, so I have promises of very short questions or comments coming from the United States and the UK. So I hope you can be brief, please, United States.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to colleagues for putting up with this last question right before lunch, or the last two. I guess UK will follow me. Just a suggestion, and you can certainly take this on board and perhaps give us an answer in writing, but I was quite taken with your reference to best practices. And I was curious to know whether any of these best practices might track GAC safeguard advice, such as validating and verifying whether a registrant in a regulated or highly regulated string, whether those credentials might be validated and verified. It would be useful to know if the DNA was actually embracing this approach. And if you could also address possibly whether any of your members might be a Category 2 string, and whether you would voluntarily add the concept of non-discrimination to your registration policy. Thank you.
Thank you, United States. Absolutely, we'll talk about those issues. Independently, we're not in a position to give that kind of commitment for Category 2. Personally, we don't have any Category 2 ones. And then as far as the highly regulated and regulated ones, we're all entering into agreements now for those TLDs, and obviously we'll abide by those agreements. And to the extent we want to go beyond those agreements, like we have in some other cases, we'll be in discussions.
Thank you. Okay. And one last short comment from the UK.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. First of all, thanks for these perspectives from the CC community and the GTLD's community on IANA. Wonderfully concise, very helpful. Thank you. Quick question. Maybe it's yes, no answer. Are you globally representative? Thank you.
The DNA? Yes. Thank you, Mark. Oh, yes, we are. So we have, of course, we have members in the United States, but several members in Europe, the subcontinent, and the Far East. So we have, what's great about the DNA is that we're geographically diverse, but we also have as members CCTLDs and GTLDs, and among the GTLDs, we have brands. We have some big applicants, we have small applicants, we have back-end providers, and also as members, we have GTLD registrars, but also CCTLD registrars that aren't ICANN accredited are eligible to join the DNA. So we think that's what makes the DNA an excellent place to have these discussions about trademark protections, because we can have the brands on one side urging greater protections and registry operators in the same room saying, okay, we can give that and maybe do it in a way that doesn't create costs for our registrants or costs for our businesses. So that's why we think it'll be a fertile place to have ongoing discussions. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. And back to Adrian to conclude.
Yeah, thanks very much. We've heard some good feedback on this presentation already, but it would be helpful to us if we could potentially get some formal feedback from the members here as to whether you found this helpful and any other topics in the future you may wish us to cover. We'd also like to ensure that if you did indeed find it helpful, that this becomes somewhat of a permanent fixture on your agenda and hopefully not always put between you and lunch, so that any good conversations we have won't be shortened by your rumbling stomachs. So thank you very much for the opportunity today, and we look forward to speaking to you again. Thank you.
Thank you to the DNA. Thank you for everyone that presented. So for the GAC, please be back in the room at 2 o'clock. Have a good lunch, but be back at 2, as we will be meeting with the Country Code Name Supporting Organization. So let's be prompt. Thank you.